about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and boy, do we have a day lined up in the life of Bob today. So we would appreciate your prayers today and this weekend. We got all sorts of family coming in, and, you know, it's a great celebration. We're celebrating this weekend as my youngest daughter and her fiance become Mr. and Mrs., and so we got lots and lots of exciting things going on. So if you would pray for us, we would greatly appreciate it. We're really looking forward to the new adventure that God has in store for them as they continue to move forward with God's plan for their life. So today we want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you are needing your heater checked or your air conditioner checked, you know, Florida is one of those places where this time of year you could need the heater of a morning, the air conditioner of an afternoon, and then the heater again at night. It's it can switch around pretty quickly. And so if you are wanting to get your heat checked out, give the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric a phone call. That is W-E-I-R-I-C-H. 321-632-9538. They travel everywhere in the county. You know, maybe your air conditioner is needing some TLC, or you've got an electrical issue. I encourage you, call the professionals at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric and have them come out, and they will get you up and running, running efficiently, and you will be better for it. So thank you to Wyrick Air for their assistance in bringing the Refresh Radio program to you Monday through Friday right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and we're really getting close to the end here on our series on a culture of deception. Yesterday we concluded in Hosea chapter 4, and there it says there, verse number one ends by saying, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And so whenever we have none of that in the land, there is a void that is going to create opportunities, and the options for filling a godless void, they aren't good. When you've rejected the truth of God, when you've rejected the mercy of God, and you've rejected the knowledge of God, the options that we are left with are not of top quality. So let's take a look again. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. With bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. So here we see that when you reject truth, which is a very concrete concept, the fact that there is truth is very limiting. You know, there's a whole lot that is excluded when you say, I'm only going to deal with the matters of truth. And so there is no truth, there is no mercy, there is no knowledge of God in the land. What are you left with when you have rejected those options? You're rejected with swearing or cursing or profaning. You're left with lying because you have rejected truth. You've purged it from your society. You now have what we were getting towards yesterday. You have an entire society that is based on deception. I want to ask you, who do you suppose is going to pay the biggest price? You know, from a socioeconomic level, who do you suppose is going to pay the highest price whenever there is deception? Do you think it's going to be the rich or do you think it's going to be the poor? I think it's going to be the poor. I think that they're going to be oppressed a great deal. You know, where do you think most of the loss of life is going to occur? Where do you think that most of the theft is going to occur from? I believe that God has, by his wisdom, created a society of truth because it watches out for all people. So it says that it identifies five things that when we've rejected the three things of truth and mercy and the knowledge of God that step in to fill the void. There's swearing, there's lying, there's killing, there's stealing, and there's committing adultery. We live in a day and time now where people almost boast about their breaking of commandments. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this, but you know, we have deteriorated in our society to where now infanticide is almost approved of in some segments of society. We're not just talking about aborting a baby, killing a baby before it's born, which has been going on for way too long and is a reproach on our society. But now there are people who have taken that a step further and said, well, you know, there's just not that much difference. Life inside the womb, life outside of the womb. You know, we've got to take a stand. You know, and you've got to realize that there are politicians who will lie to you to get elected, not disclosing what their true agenda is. And then afterwards, then you say, oh, well, you're vested in this now. And so we can't afford to have this culture of killing, of murder. You know, one country that I heard recently that there were something like 150,000 murders in a very short time period. That a society cannot sustain itself with that level of violence. Okay? It just can't. Well, what about stealing? Thou shalt not steal, you know? Our next one that we'll talk about is thou shalt not covet, and that leads to this stealing. Where is the trusting God? Where is the trusting of God in the process? And I think that we need to step up and say, you know what? Stealing is just as wrong. What was it? A certain city here in America decided that they were no longer going to punish stealing as long as it didn't rise to a certain threshold. And what happened when they made that decision, they thought they were being merciful, but what they actually did was they empowered thieves who increased the rate of theft. They just decreased the value at which they stole. They said, well, as long as I don't go above this threshold, then there's not going to be any consequence for me. That's not wise. That's not wise. But if we reject truth and mercy and the knowledge of God, we're going to get an abundance of stealing, of swearing, of lying, of killing. And then the last thing is committing adultery. And there is no betrayal that touches us quite as intimately as committing adultery does. It has consequence to us physically. It has consequence to us emotionally. It has consequence relationally, financially. And it has consequence when it comes to trust. It takes a miracle from God to be able to overcome that. And as Hosea writes this, you'd have to read the first few chapters of Hosea to discover that he knew what that pain was all about, because he was married to an unfaithful wife who abandoned him, abandoned her kids, and went off and chased her lovers and all that. And that was a picture to Israel about their unfaithfulness to God. And so there are people who take the vow, you know, till death do us part, but then they really don't mean that. There is deception that is said even in that, where they're just saying the words. They really don't intend to fulfill them at all. Excuse me. It says that because they've embraced that, they break all restraint. Okay? It becomes a society of lawlessness. And you've got to realize that the end result of any society that is embracing these five things, where murder is tolerated, where deceit is tolerated, where killing and stealing and you know, committing adultery, not taking your vow seriously, all of that is going to break any barriers that were in place, legal barriers or anything else, moral barriers. That they break all restraint. And you say, well, you know, I thought God wanted us to be free. He didn't want you to be free from the protection of His Word. He didn't want us to be free from the protection of our relationship with Him, of walking in covenant with Him, and all of the benefits from that. He wanted us freed from the shackles of sin so that we could live the life that He knew was the highest quality of life that we could ever live. So, what happens when you cast off restraint? I'm going to take you back to the book of Proverbs right now, Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And let's see, verse number 18. Whoops, that's 30. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. Where there is no revelation or prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. The King James version of that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The New King James says, where there is no prophetic vision, a vision that keeps calling people back into relationship with God, where there is no prophetic vision where Jesus Christ is exalted, where there is no prophetic vision of truth, of mercy, and the knowledge of God, where there is none of that, thus saith the Lord, going on in society, it says that people cast off restraint and they die. They perish. So we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to be aware of what the devil's tactic is, and that is that he wants forces in operation in our society that will lead us to our own destruction. That's not God. God wants us healed. God wants us walking in life. He wants us operating in the spirit of truth. He wants us operating with His protection. Do you realize that you can take a supply of water, you can just dump it out all on the ground where it just lies there and lays there and it has no power whatsoever. It just saturates the ground and creates a swamp of muck and mire and all that. But it really, it's going to choke out anything that's trying to grow there, and it's going to drown out, you know, that, but it doesn't have any power. But if you take that same amount of water and you put it in a confined area, and you put it up on stilts, the weight of the water, and you put it in a where the only outlet is a piece of piping. Do you realize that there is such tremendous pressure behind it? That's where we get our pressure. We get the water pressure for our homes from pumps and things like that, but it's really the fact that it is that pipe is a restraining force to contain water, which could just be rendered useless on the ground, or it could bring tremendous pressure and power into our life. I remember it's probably been 10 plus years ago that there were some very famous preachers that were going around and they were saying, no limits, no boundaries, no limits, no boundaries. And God had me preaching exactly the opposite. You know, there's a meme that shows up on Facebook from time to time, and one of the guys says, you know what, I'm sick and tired of this fence keeping me in here. And he hops over, and there's nothing on the other side except for this great cliff. And as he's doing that, there's a guy that's standing there and says, wait a minute, that's not a fence. That's a guardrail. It's a protection. Deliver us from evil. Many times we think, and I've said this a number of times, we think that that is God retroactively delivering us from unsavory, ungodly devices. But, you know, several years ago I had this realization, because we had always operated with, when the money comes in, we would pay for these projects. Our church has no debt. That's one of the reasons why we can do this radio program and give as much as we do to missions, is because we are not bound, we're not servant to the lender. And so it takes us a while. We'd raise the money, and then we'd go ahead and do it. And many times we would launch those projects in January, and then we'd swim upstream all year trying to get back to break even. And I said, you know what, God? I believe that you can provide the resources in advance just as easily as you can provide for them in arrears. And it was a breakthrough revelation for our church. It was like, you know what? And since that time, God has been doing that. We have taken the steps to do several projects, but God has provided the resources up front. It's made pastoring a whole lot easier. Because you might not know this, the pastor, to a large extent, that budget that you've got to raise in order to do the ministry, that's a pressure. That's a pressure. People might come and go for the services, but the pastor lives it 24/7. And so I just want to encourage you to say, you know what, God, we're not going to cast off restraint. We're going to believe that you have given us this wisdom for our protection, and we're going to avail ourselves of that protection for the glory of God. So I want to take you today to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. There's a couple of different things here, and in verse number 1 of chapter 2, Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I love that Habakkuk says, you know what, God's going to correct me here in that situation. I think that we need to, rather than be running away from God's correction, we need to embrace it. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And I want you today to embrace this reality that when God speaks, he only speaks truth. And when God makes a promise, he says, write it down, and you can count on this, that this is going to take place. Now, the prophetic dream that Habakkuk had, the thus saith the Lord moment that he had, it made him extremely uncomfortable. It started off as, God, how long are you going to let this ungodly society continue in the land of your covenant people? How long are you going to let this go on? And God says, don't worry about it. I'm going to do something that is going to astound you. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans in, and they are going to take care of this problem. And then Habakkuk says, God, how can you use someone that is more wicked than your people? How can you bring correction to your people when these people are living worse than what you are? And God says, listen, I've got this all under control. Okay? He's not going to let things continue on forever. And just because he uses a society doesn't mean he's endorsing that society. But do you realize that God positioned Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? He positioned his people in Babylon where they made a difference in that society. They created a completely different culture and became influential advisors to the king, to the such that Nebuchadnezzar had an awareness of who God was and wrote Daniel chapter 4. Habakkuk, when he's trying to get his head around all of this stuff, God says, look, write it down, make it as simple to understand as you can, that when a person reads it, he would be like a herald. He would be able to run with it, because the vision is yet for an appointed time. The vision is yet for an appointed time. You have an appointment with God's prophetic promise for your life and for my life. Merit Assembly of God has an appointment with God's plan for our church. And he says, there is an appointed time, and it's not a time that you chose or I chose. It's a time that God chose. And in the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry, it will not stay away forever. Okay, so now we have a thus saith the Lord. Now we've got to deal with, okay, is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? And God says it's most certainly going to happen. Write it down in such a manner that you can take this and spread it as far as necessary to make sure that everybody knows in advance before it happens. And he says, it is for an appointed time. So now we've got the concept of timing. Excuse me. And God's timing is not always the same as our timing. In fact, I am of the persuasion, I was a math guy. If I needed my GPA to go up, I took a math class. Because math was something that I was able to get my head around it. It was concrete principles. I worked in retail where we had fixed prices. I worked in retail where we had fantasy prices. I always liked dealing with the fixed price, with the real price. I found that that was better for my personality. I didn't want somebody coming in, two people, and one of them paying what they thought was a real price, and the other person coming in and haggling and negotiating and all of that and walking out with a much lower price. I never cared for that much. I like concrete things. So I always took a math class. But what I determined from studying the scriptures is that God's math is different from my math, and God's calendar is different from my calendar. We look at things from a earthly or temporal perspective, and God looks at things from an eternal perspective. Time is simply a segment of eternity. And so God's perspective is always right. It says, though it tarries, wait for it. And there is our responsibility. Waiting is not just sitting around and twiddling your thumbs. That is a lie from the enemy. It is not just positioning yourself in passivity. It is eagerly waiting and expecting that what God has said, God will accomplish. And it will happen. It will not lie. It is impossible for God to lie. If God has made you a promise, whether it's about your unsaved loved ones, whether it's about your unsaved kids or your neighbors or your parents, whatever it might be, write it down. I remember I did this back before Cindy and I got married. God gave me a prophetic word, and I wrote it down. I can still tell it to you today. I will take the thread of your life, and I will take the thread of her life, and I will weave them together into a beautiful tapestry that was more beautiful than either thread could have been all by itself. I can still tell it to you. But there was a time where I thought that I had missed it. I had written it down on a piece of paper. I tore up the piece of paper. Because I had a call to pastor. My wife felt called to missions. I've been on missions trip. She hadn't been on missions trip, but we didn't realize that God had this thing called missions pastors, home missions pastors, and that's what we were. A youth pastor from a big church showed up one day at our house, and he said, "Wow, you all live like missionaries." I said, "Yes, we do." God had his timing. It took a lot longer than what we wanted it to take. It's taken a lot longer for what we thought would take place at Merit Assembly of God. But you know what we're doing? We're still remembering the words. We're still clinging for it. We're still waiting on it. And we're still counting on it. God doesn't lie. He won't lie to you either. See you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."